Pandy puffed on her cig as she went outside. Abel and Peyton followed her while Lisa went back to her crossword puzzle. Jesus and Thelda got into a conversation involving biblical verses and Shakespearean insults. Sybil and Blake walked out while Sybil said,
"I swear I can't make this stuff up that goes on around here. Bless their little hearts."
Nurse Ratchley gave everyone remaining a long look. She finally looked at Bubba.
"We have some rooms. We can put you up for the night with no problem, no matter what the doc has to say. Then tomorrow, we can get the bobcat from the shed and put that cell phone tower on the side of the road. Someone's got to know how to operate it."
"That bobcat ain't gonna make a dent in the avalanche," Bubba said.
"Maybe not, but it's a start."
The nurse nodded.
"One of us could walk out to the nearest place. It's several miles, but doable."
Bubba couldn't quite understand why no one except David was really taking the whole murder business seriously. It was reminiscent of how things worked whenever he found a dead body. They didn't believe it until it was too late and the murderer was looming over them. Then they would all be like, "Oh." Not even Brownie Snotty, armed with a homemade taser and jury-rigged booby trap, could save them. Precious nudged his leg again because she'd been forgotten. Bubba knelt to scratch her behind the jowls. "No one counted you, girl, did they?" he murmured. "Silly of them not to count the best-looking lady in the whole hospital, right?" Precious leaned into the scratches until she apparently remembered that she hadn't played hard to get for hours. She leaned away and put her prodigious nose into the air.
"I'm not that easy, mister."
"Who's the best dog a fella ever had?" Bubba crooned.
"Not me. I will pee on your fishing poles, all three of them."
"Who wants to go outside to the truck with me to get a few milk bones out of a bag in the glove box?"
"Not me. Wait, milk bones? Maybe. No, absolutely not."
Precious turned her nose farther away. It twitched once, then it twitched again.
"Milk bones? Real milk bones? Not the cheap kind that Miss Adelia bought by mistake? No generic milk bones for this dog."
Precious forgot that she was supposed to be put out and bayed energetically. Bubba led the way, happy that someone could be pleased for the moment. Bubba came back in the front way and was buzzed inside by Sybil. Precious followed at his heels, content with the knowledge that she had consumed 3 milk bones when she normally could only mooch 2 at a sitting. Sybil nodded at Bubba before she hurried off, muttering something about having to do all the paperwork in the hospital herself, adding,
"Useless Urex."
No one was in the day room. No one was in the hallway. Bubba turned around and opened the Zoom. He turned the device over and found the button. It took him a moment to realize he was supposed to press and hold. The screen came on with a little green lighted figure. An abrupt, soul-clenching shriek made his fingers slip. The scream hadn't ended by the time the Zoom hit the tiled floor and broke into about 30 pieces. "Crap," Bubba said. "I mean carp." Then he realized the shriek had stopped and that someone was likely in some kind of trouble. Bubba ran. It took him 30 seconds to find Sybil holding her hands over her mouth and biting her index finger to keep from screaming again. He followed her horrified eyes into the office to see Blake, what was his last name, sitting at a large mahogany desk. His chair matched the desk. Pictures of pastoral scenes lined the walls. However, Blake wasn't looking at his desk or the pretty pictures. He was staring at the ceiling with sightless eyes, and his tongue slightly protruded from his mouth. That was caused by the fact that someone had strangled him with a jury-rigged garrote made with a length of computer wire and a steel ruler. The garrote had been left around his neck. Several other people appeared behind Sybil, including David. They peered inside the office and made noises ranging from gasps to appalled moans. Bubba couldn't help but notice 2 things. One was that everyone was accounted for. There were 11 people there and 1 dead body. 2 was that he hadn't discovered this dead body, a fact for which he was profoundly grateful.